Good morning, church. Welcome to Church Online. My name is Pastor Ryan. I'm glad that you have joined us this morning here for our online service. You might be able to tell I'm speaking from our sanctuary because we're meeting in person. We're seeking to follow all of the guidelines. And so if you feel comfortable, we'd welcome you at 10:30 to our in-person gathering. But I'm so glad that you're participating just like you are today, perhaps with your family gathered around your television. Well, we are continuing in our series in the book of Daniel. We're in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. And I've called this series Unshakable. Really, Daniel shows us how to live an unshakable life in times of crisis. And this is another one of those examples. I've entitled this sermon, Are You Troubled? How many of you have been troubled recently? My encouragement to you from the Word of God today is then to pray. So we're looking at Daniel chapter 9, and this is an amazing chapter of prayer and prophecy. And many people, when they go to this chapter, they go right to the prophecy. And although that's very important, today we're not going to do that. We're going to go right to prayer because it's my conviction more and more and more to know the heart of God, to know His plan and His will for our lives. We need to be people of prayer. We must be people who learn to be with God and then to learn to do His will. You know, the disciples in the New Testament, they saw Jesus do many, many things. They saw Him heal people. They saw Him raise people from the dead. They saw Him feed the 5,000. They saw Him speak to the masses of people. He spoke to the powerful. He spoke to the poor. Many things that the disciples witnessed Jesus doing. And there's this one request that has really got me thinking about my own life and also for the life of the church. The one request of the disciples was this: Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's got to be our request too as followers of Jesus. And Daniel has this amazing prayer, and if you don't know how to pray, this is a great pattern of prayer that Daniel shows us. Now, I want to let us know, I've been talking about in Daniel, there's a lot of history in the book of Daniel, a lot of history. And this vision or this revelation from God here that is later on in this chapter came 12 years after this vision in chapter 8. So there's this time gap. I mean, we read it in the scripture. We, read right down the page. But I just realize there's a lot of time that goes on between these chapters in this vision. Daniel is probably about 80 years old at this point. He's endured captivity. He has served God faithfully. And I want us to notice his prayer this morning. May it draw us deeper into the heart of God. May we know the heart of God all the more as we listen to how Daniel prays, and perhaps we can pray like Daniel this morning. Back in Daniel chapter 8, if you remember, in verse 27, Daniel ends where he says, I was appalled by this vision. I was exhausted and I lay in my bed for days. He was perhaps even depressed. He was even afraid, perhaps. What do you do in those times where you might feel troubled like Daniel? Daniel shows us. He shows us how to respond through his prayer. The first thing we see that Daniel does is he turns to the Word of God. We must be people who turn first to the Word of God. Verse 2, it says this, I, Daniel, understood from the Scriptures according to the Word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet the desolation of Jerusalem that will last 70 years. So we see him first turning to the Word of God. Where do we begin in life? It must be the Word of God, friends. Starting October 18th, this is just a little brief commercial. Starting October 18th, we as a church are going to begin to read through the Bible in 90 days. Now, some of you are saying, wow, I couldn't do that. Wow, that's fast. That's so quick. It is. 90 days is quick. But I know many of us who try to set out to read the Bible in a year, we end up giving up. And so what I'm asking the church to do is to commit 90 days. Can you commit 90 days of your life to begin to read the Bible? That's about 12 pages a day. And my hope and prayer is that we would encounter this merciful, this kind, this just, this righteous God in the living Word of God, just as Daniel is encountering in his prayer. So Daniel turns to the Word of God, which we want to practice as well. When there's trouble, he turns to the Word of God. Turn to someone next to you and say, we must turn to the Word of God. Now, Daniel has some hope here as he reads the Word of God. That's what the Word of God does. He gives us hope. He's in the Word of God. He reads the words of Jeremiah the prophet. What did he read that gave him hope? Jeremiah chapter 25, 10 through 12 says this, I will banish from them the Israelites, the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Now, what this is talking about is that God was going to shake up the Israelites. The Israelites had trusted God, but then they rebelled. This is the pattern for them, the people of God. They trust God, then they walk away. They trust God, they walk away. They trust God. Kind of sounds like maybe some of our lives, if we're honest with that. I mean, how many of us are like that? When things are going really well, we kind of dismiss God. We kind of just put Him aside. But it's only when things are going really bad we cry out. And God is saying, I'm going to shake things up. And remember, He allowed God's people to be captured by the Babylonians and sent into captivity. But the hope is that Daniel has is that it's not going to be forever, because God said it would be for 70 years. Verse 12 in Jeremiah 25 says, but when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt, declares the Lord, and will make it desolate forever. Now, if you remember, Daniel was taken into captivity. We learned this way back a long time ago in the book of Daniel. He was taken into captivity in 605 B.C. It's now 538 B.C. That's 67 years. And so Daniel is hopeful because only a few more years and they will return to the holy city of Jerusalem. God will restore them. Daniel said in chapter 8, the very end, right? He's terrified. He's afraid. But he also returned to the king's business. What do we do in troubled times? We return to the king. We go about his business. We turn to God's word. When we're lost, we go to God's word. When we are troubled, we go to God's word. When we are worried, we go to God's word. God's word is the ultimate thing in our lives. I want to mention this scripture real quick here in Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love that scripture because there's this promise of peace. I don't know who doesn't like peace, especially peace that's indescribable, the kind of peace that only God brings. And I know in my life there have been times where I've experienced that peace that's indescribable. I mean, you're trying to express how God met you, and you can't even, because it's only God who can bring that peace. But I've also experienced in the same moment, and directly after that, freaking out about something. So how do we hold on to that peace? How do we hold on to this peace that is supposed to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, as the Word of God says? Well, actually, in the very next part, it says this, finally, brothers and sisters, this is verse 8 in Philippians, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And then it says this, and the peace of God will be with you. So how do we respond in troubled times? We turn to God's Word here. How do we hold on to this peace that is supposed to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? We think about these things that are true. We think about these things that are right and pure and lovely. We think and meditate on those things. Those things are true and right. They're found in God's Word. It's full of hope. And that's what Daniel does here in this prayer. That's the first thing he does. Second thing is if you have trouble, Daniel humbles himself before God. Look at verse 3. It says, so I turned to the Lord God, and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. He puts himself under the authority of God. He puts himself under God, and he pleads with him. Right? He's dependent on him. The first thing, it says that I turn to God. He turns all of his mind, his thoughts to God. How many times when trouble has come your way that you have just sought other things rather than God? You've turned your mind to other things. You've actually went the opposite way from God. And Daniel doesn't do that. He turns his thoughts and minds to God. I remember this scripture in the Bible where Jesus, it says that he set his face towards Jerusalem. He was determined to go to Jerusalem. Why was he going to Jerusalem? He was going to die for you, for me, for the sins of the world. He put all other distractions away and he set his mind, his face towards Jerusalem. That's what Daniel is doing in his prayer. That's what he shows us to do in prayers. We're setting all distractions aside. We're putting our mind in him, on God. I love the Amplified Version. It says, so I directed my attention to the Lord God to seek him. And another one says, I set my face unto the Lord God. Right? It's this setting our face, this humbling under him, setting our face, pushing all thoughts and other ideas aside, turning to God. The second thing he does here in humbling himself is he practices repentance, walking away from other things, from these other things that distract us, walking towards God. He puts on sackcloth. We don't do that anymore today. Maybe we should. Sackcloth is like burlap. It's this fabric that's irritating. It would remind people of sin, of their sin, and how irritating their sin is to them, and how irritating sin is to God. They would put on the sackcloth, they would put it and then sit in ashes. This was all a sign of humility before God, this recognition of sin and coming under the authority of God in their lives. Not only that, but they would practice fasting. Now, a lot of people look at fasting today for super spiritual people, maybe for monks or something, people who have given their lives to God. But no, this is a practice that God wishes all of us would participate in. I've been saying this a lot lately to our staff here at the church, but in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, the disciples are having a conversation with Jesus, and the disciples were trying to cast this demon out of this person, and they couldn't do it. You know what Jesus told them there? He said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. That just tells you how important prayer and fasting is. Prayer is turning our heart towards God. Prayer is gaining His authority in all matters in life. Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, 5-6, He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the streets, and they want to be seen by others. He says, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, he says, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Prayer is the practice for Daniel. When there is trouble, Daniel immediately goes right to prayer. You see, if we practice this practice of prayer and fasting when there is trouble, then when trouble comes, we are prepared for the battle, friends. And that's what Daniel does. If you remember in Daniel chapter 6, prayer is actually what got Daniel into trouble, actually. Got him thrown into the lion's den. But remember, there was this decree, this edict that went out, this proclamation that went out from the governor that said, hey, I want you to pray to me, and whoever doesn't pray to me is going to be in big trouble, real big trouble. And how did Daniel respond? This was his practice. He went home. He went into an upstairs room. He knelt down and he prayed 3 times a day. Do you see the connection here between trouble and Daniel's life? When there's trouble, he goes right to prayer. Another thing about Daniel. Let me say this before I go on to the next point is, friends, we've got an election coming up, and I never get political here in church. I don't talk about that much. But I know there's a lot of talk about politics right now, and I want to encourage us to vote for what is right, vote for what is true, vote for what is honorable to God. But even more important than that, friends, than voting, is prayer. Is humbling ourselves under God, as Daniel shows in his prayer, and to turn our hearts and our minds over to God. Then we'll be able to get this peace that I just talked about. The third thing here is, if you have trouble, Daniel shows us what to do. He confesses to God. I mean, they're in great trouble. They've rebelled against God, and he confesses. Some people practice confession better than others. Catholics practice confession. They actually go to a confessional booth and confess before a priest. As Protestants, we don't have to do that. We have a great high priest, and his name is Jesus. And we can go straight to him any time of the day, and we can confess before God. Some people think, well, why should Daniel confess? Why do I have to confess? God already knows my sin. Well, confession is bringing our sin out into the light so that we can be healed. Confession is admitting to God, yes, God already knows. But confession is admitting to yourself and agreeing with God that we have sinned. Ephesians chapter 5, 11 through 14 says this, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Some of us, friends, are stuck in bondage and stuck in sin. Confess. Let Christ's light shine on you and to reveal that sin in your life. And you'll be free. You'll be set free by the light of Jesus Christ. You know, I fear that many of us are way too cavalier about sin. We just say, sorry, and we move on. But that's not at all how we should treat sin. In fact, if you remember in the Bible, David, when he committed adultery, man, his heart was just broken before God. And he said in Psalm 51, he said, have mercy on me, O God. Against you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight. He said, cleanse me, right? Make me new, clean me, create in me a pure heart. I mean, there's this deep recognition of sin. Sin isn't just sorry and we move on. Sin's a big deal. And it was such a big deal that Jesus gave His life on the cross. And if it's that big of a deal to God, then it needs to be a big deal to us. Confess. Daniel continues with confession. In verse 4, he says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God. Did you see this here? I love this because remember when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. How did Jesus start out? He said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Meaning, holy is your name. Set apart is your name. Awesome is your name. And Daniel prays like that. He adores him for his power and his might and how great he is. He continues saying in verse 4, how great he is. God, you keep your covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Verse 5, we have sinned. Here he is confessing still and being very specific. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. You see how specific he is. I think that's a good model for us to recognize our sin and be specific. We've sinned. We've done wrong. We've rebelled. We've turned away. That's the issue here, friends. It's confession before God, bringing our sin out into the light so that we can be healed. Perhaps we can ask ourselves a question today. Do I practice confession before God? Do I ask God to shine His light on me? This is such a challenging thing because it means we've got to be honest with ourselves and honest before God. Verses 7 through 11, Daniel says, Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. You see, he's owning up to things. We and our kings, our princes and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants and prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away. Again, I love how beautiful this is because he's being so honest. They were unfaithful, but God has been faithful. Would you hear that today? That yes, sometimes we are unfaithful, but God is merciful. He's faithful. Verse 7 says, he recognizes this. Lord, you are righteous, but we've been unfaithful. Verse 8 says, we have sinned. But verse 9 says, but God is merciful and forgiving. Hear that good news today, friends. If you are trapped in sin, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's righteous and just, but He's also merciful and forgiving. Friends, I think if we take an honest look, kind of evaluate our lives right now, we can say that at times we've been like the Israelites. We've been with God. We've rebelled against God. We have wanted to go back to our former days or what is most comfortable. I know I've said that a lot lately. Just let me go back to how things used to be. But you know, God has something better in store for us, church. God has something better for us. But we have got to follow Him. And Daniel acknowledges in his prayer here that there's a cost of rebellion. There's a cost of walking away from God. Listen to this. These scriptures here in 11 through 14, he says, therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us. Because we have sinned against you, you have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it was written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought favor from the Lord our God. by turning away from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Do you see this character of God? God is for us. He's merciful. But yet we have not held up our end of the bargain here to follow him. You've got trouble in your life. Confess to God. Ask him to shine his light on you. The fourth and final thing here this morning is, if you've got trouble in your life, do what Daniel does. He petitions of the Lord. He asks the Lord, and he begins to trust his plan. Look at verses 15 through 19. He says, "Now, Lord, our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and you made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and our iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, O God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, look with us on favor in your desolate sanctuary." Again, I love how Daniel here recognizes their sin and recognizes how they turned away. But he's calling on God to say, "You know what, God, you delivered us before. By your mighty hand, you delivered your people from slavery. You did it once before. Will you do it again?" And I think that needs to be our prayer today, church. We are in troubled times where I think, church, we need to come together, not just our local church, but all churches, and say, we are in trouble. And Lord, we know you have been faithful in the past, and we know we have been unfaithful. But now, Lord, we confess and we repent. We want to walk towards you. And Lord, would you do it again, what you did in the days of old? Would you revive our hearts? Would you set us free? I think that needs to be our prayer, church. That needs to be the prayer of our heart. Friends, I want us to hear this plea of Daniel to do it again. Maybe ask the Lord to set us free again. But here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that some of us love our comfort more than we love the Comforter. I'm afraid for some of us that we love our sin more than the one who died for our sins. I'm afraid we love our laughter and all the ease that we have in this life and doing this life without God, just like the Israelites were doing, as it says in Jeremiah 25. So the question or questions for us today, church, is this: when will we finally break this pattern of going back and forth, of loving our sin more than we love Jesus? When will we break that? That can be today for you as you humble and confess before God. Maybe some of us today, the question could be, is when will you trust Jesus as your Savior once and for all? When will you put your hope in Him? Will that be today? If that is today, there's a little button that's coming up on the screen. If you're watching this through our website, just click that saying, "I trust Jesus today," and someone will contact you. And then maybe for some of us today, we've got trouble in our lives. Maybe the question for you today is, will you let Jesus guide you as you humble yourself under Him? Daniel ends this whole chapter with one last final plea. And I want to leave us with this prayer today. Verse 18. Would you pray this with me? If this is your prayer, give your our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear. Lord, act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for whoever's watching. Lord, I pray that you would meet them where they're at. God, I pray that they would trust you right now as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, then I pray for the church, our church. Lord, that we would humble ourselves before you. That's the real issue. God, we would humble ourselves so we wouldn't just keep going back and forth from seeking things of this world. May we seek you with our whole heart. Would you forgive us? As David said, would you cleanse us? Would you create in us right and pure hearts? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey friends, if God has done something great in your life today, we want to hear about it. We want to praise the Lord with you. Have a great Sunday, and we hope to see you soon.